I want to thank God for Pastor Chuck and Liz for inviting me in this place. And I request this congregation to give them a big hand clap for this. If you wish, you can clap your hand for this. I'm called Umar Mulinde. Umar is Arabic because I was born a Muslim. Mulinde is a family name. I'm coming from Uganda. Uganda is a country in East Africa. Some Jews, you must take responsibility to know about this country. At a time in history, they wanted to take all the Jews in Uganda. And some Jews were accepting to take Uganda, but others refused. Some Ugandans are saying, I wish they came. Because if the Jews can cultivate and have a lot of food on the rocks of Israel, it could have been far better on a fertile land in Uganda. But to me, as a Bible believer, I thank God that they did not go, because it was messing up the prophecies and the promises of God. This country is in East Africa. East Africa is growing now. We are becoming about five nations. Initially, there were three nations: Kenya, Tanzania, and Uganda. But now we are actually becoming six. We are Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, and Southern Sudan is joining East Africa. But this country was in the 70s governed by a president called Idi Amin Dada. This man was a terrible man, and he declared it to be an Islamic state. Uganda is the only country in history which has Muslim minority but known as Islamic country. The Muslims are not even more than 20%, but because of Idi Amin in the 70s, he strategized them, gave them prime land, money, state money. And when he declared a state, since then, many presidents have come in, including now we have a president who is Christian, but is finding it hard to disassociate our country from Islamic countries because of the money which the Arab Islamic states are giving in, and the threats, because most of these countries are interested in our country to be an Islamic country. I was born in a Muslim family. I'm like a child number 52 in my father's house. My father had many wives and many children. We are more than 50. But all of those children are Muslims. Only recently, when I got converted, a few of my brothers and sisters also converted to Christianity, and I bless the Lord for that. I'm a pastor of a church. The church is called Gospel Life Church International. It's based in Kampala, the capital city of Uganda. My church is on Entebbe Road, the best known place, I think, in regard to Uganda is Entebbe. I think if there is a Jew in this house, they will know the Entebbe issue. How many people have ever heard about Entebbe? Entebbe. So, Entebbe in my language means chair. Entebbe means chair. That is Entebbe. So what you are sitting on is Entebbe. At least I have tried to learn English. Okay? It's not my language. And I have tried to learn Hebrew. I know Bukratov. Manishma. Ritrayot. At least learn that one from me. Entebbe. Tell your neighbor, Entebbe. What? You see, we are serving a mighty God, the God of all languages, isn't it? So, Entebbe. So take that one. You learn it. Whenever you remember me, you say, Entebbe. So, Entebbe means chair or seat. What you are sitting on is Entebbe. It was the first capital city of Uganda where the presidency or the state house was built, where the president sits. The leaders were sitting in Entebbe town, so they called it Entebbe. It's a place of the city of the leadership. So my church is on Entebbe Road, and the Lord has given us grace. We have a membership of over 1,000 members in this church, and the good news is 35% of these people are ex-Muslims. They have converted from Islam, including my assistant pastor. He's a little older than me, the assistant to me. He's also an ex-Muslim. Members of the choir, the music department, the ushers. When you come to a church, one day when you will visit us in Uganda, you'll hear names like Abu Bakr, Abdul, Uthman, Ali, Hussein. But these are servants of the Almighty God, the God of Israel. And they believe in Yeshua, the Son of the Living God. I want to thank God that the nation of Israel has stood with me in this challenging time. And I'm currently being treated by one of the best hospitals in the world, Sheba Hospital, by wonderful Israeli doctors. I came in here when I could not walk, I could not eat, I could not see. I was about to die. But they have worked tirelessly. I have got 3 surgeries on my face and on my right eye, and I'm about to go and to get other 3 surgeries. It has been a terrible moment to me. I am married with a wonderful wife, one wife, and we have 6 children. One wife, 6 children. My oldest, the firstborn, is a daughter. She's 14. The second is 12. The third is 8. The fourth is 6. The young ones, they are 2, born on the same day. They are twins. And they are boys. They all resemble me. I named them Joshua and Caleb. And amazingly, you see, there is power in the names. Joshua and Caleb, they went to spy the land and they came with good news. Among my children, these young ones love Israel so much. My home is near the airport, but wherever they see a plane going around, they say, "Dad is going to Israel, Dad is going to Israel." They mention Israel every day, wherever they see a plane. And these 6 children, on the 24th of December last year, when I was going out of my home, the young one told me, "Daddy, come very early, because The following day we had a party, so they wanted me to come earlier. Come early at home, but bring me ice cream. It was 9 in the morning, and I drove my car, and I went to do church work. I am a minister of the gospel. I was in a revival of preaching, and I was preaching, and during that week, I had a gathering where I preached for 1 week, and 300 people gave their life to Yeshua. They got converted. Many of them Muslims. So, the scripture say, if one sinner repent, there is a celebration in heaven. So we said, if one can cause heaven to celebrate, how about the 300? So we chose to have a party on the 25th of December to celebrate the success the Lord has given us, to see that our brothers and sisters were lost, now they have come back home. So on the 24th I was preaching again. I went to preach, and many people came to Jesus Christ, and I had to drive to go to my church. When I reached the church, I had to see, because they were setting the stage for a party on the 25th. The machines, we had got new machines, so the technicians were very busy. I checked on them, but as I was going out of the church, in a parking of the church, to enter my car, to go home to take ice cream for my children, somebody pretended as a believer, and he said, "Pastor, can you help me?" When I turned like this to look at him, he was standing in the dark. My heart told me, he is a wrong character. He wanted my face to turn like this. When I turned, immediately I turned again to, and I wanted to run and go drive my car, because I had in my heart something telling me, this is a wrong character, wrong person. When I was going to enter the car, he poured a bucket of acid on my face. Acid is a dangerous chemical. I felt fire from the head up to the toes. I screamed and I called Jesus 3 times. Acid was moving. You feel fire moving on your skin like this. Some of you doesn't know acid. It's a liquid, but it's a dangerous liquid. When you get something metallic or a metal and put in acid, that metal can dissolve. If a metal can dissolve, how about a human skin? So when he poured acid on me, I turned. I could not enter the car. I turned and screamed and called Jesus Christ. And when I turned, I had another pouring on my back of acid. I ran and went to my office, but there I could not understand what is going on. I could not see. And one thing I heard, after pouring the last, the man said, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." I realized that these are terrorists who have come to disfigure my life. Immediately, my face began to turn around. The nose was like making half circle. The mouth was like turning around. And this side was half circle. Immediately, I could hear this side is like a rock, but turning around like this. It was a terrible pain. That night they took me to the hospital, but I was unconscious. I could not understand throughout that night what is going on, only feeling the pain, but not knowing what is going on. I was about to die. Everybody was thinking of me and looking at me as somebody who is about to die. And I thought I was about to die. My people, they took me to the hospital, the big hospital, and this hospital took me to another one, the best in Uganda, Kampala International Hospital. It's run by a Christian, somebody from Europe. They tried their best, but I was advised that the best way to survive is to get a better facility, because acid was running so fast and could even eat my bones and enter the brain. It was a terrible thing, my sisters and brothers. They flew me to India. When I reached India, two things happened. When I was in Kampala International Hospital, somebody pretended as a doctor, yet he was a Muslim, and he wanted to come and inject me with poison. But my people grabbed him, and I managed to survive, because they realized at a late stage, when he was immediately reaching on my bed where I was, putting on as a doctor, but he was not a doctor of that hospital. So we knew that they did not only want to disfigure me, they never intended to damage me, they wanted to kill me. They flew me to India. When I was in India, we realized they had a little bit better facility than the one who is in Uganda. But we realized that the one who was going to do surgery on me is also a Muslim. And Uganda is close to India because of the many Indians who are in Uganda, and many Ugandans always come to India, and many who come are Muslims. We knew that we must be watchful here. You remember in the Bible there is this word which tells you, be watchful. Have you ever read about such a statement? Be watchful, because the enemy is always close to us. So the scriptures say we must be watchful. What happened is we saw somebody, and a doctor who was also Muslim. I was with my wife and we prayed, but we were yearning for a better facility. And when my people told me India, I had no choice, but I was yearning that I better get a place where they would treat me when I'm not worried of my surviving. And in my heart I had Israel, because I had been to Israel before. When I was a Muslim, I hated Israel. There is a teaching in Islam. Some people try to hide this, but these are theological matters. In Islam, there is a teaching says, for you who know Arabic, it says, فَلَا تَتَحِزُ يَهُدِيَّ وَنَصْرَنِيَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ فَلَا تَتَحِزُ يَهُدِيَّ وَنَصْرَنِيَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ Never make a Jew or a Christian to be your friend. That's the teaching of Islam. Because of that, I hated the Jews, even if I didn't know where they are. And no wonder Idi Amin hated them in the 70s, even if he was trained here, but he hated them because of the teaching. So I had hated the Jews, but when I became a Christian, it's amazing. Whenever I could open the Bible, I see God of Israel, God of Israel, God of Israel. And I said I cannot hate the people God loves, and I chose to love the Jews. I chose to love Israel. Yes. Previously, I had made many trips to Israel, even bringing pastors to fill the land, bringing groups. So I knew about Israel. And in my church, we decided every Monday, we meet at 5 in the evening up to 7. And we pray about, we learn about Israel and we pray for Israel. So all this were happening, but my intention was that if I can get away to go to the doctors of Israel to help me, because I went to India, but this problem of acid was worsening. When I was in India, one of my people whom had me is not a Christian, he's a Jewish religious person. He stays in America, but he read in the news about what has happened to me, and he contacted some people in Israel here, and miraculously, I ended up coming to Israel. I came in here when I could not walk, I could not talk or nothing, but I'm glad that now I can talk and I can walk, and I've been treated by these Israeli doctors, and I'm handled like a brother. When I was eating during those days, I could eat using a straw, could not open the mouth. This mouth, you see, it has been grafted by these guys, the doctors, but the acid burnt the mouth and teared the mouth in two parts. I could not eat, I could not open a mouth. My wife was helping me with a straw to get something. I'm glad now I can eat a little bit, and because of this mask, this is a mask which was given to me by the doctors. This is not my skin. It's trying to help me to heal the wounds inside. Like I told you, there is new skin. There was a night when I had no skin on this part of this, from here up to here. The acid was cutting off the neck here. So then there was a big wound from here up to here, opened. And there was a night when I reached in Israel here, the first surgery, they removed all the skin from here to here. So this area was open for a night. The doctors told me I had chances 99% to die. But I knew the 1% remaining is a Jesus one. So it's wonderful to be a believer, ladies and gentlemen. Otherwise you can be stressed and die before your day. But when you are a believer and they say you have 99 chances to die, you say, I stand on the one chance. And I stood on the one chance, I'm living another day in the name of Yeshua. I'm glad that I'm living another day. So I had no skin. All this was open. If you had come and did this, could have been dead. But I'm glad they have managed to put skin, was cut from my leg and put here. And Jesus did a miracle. The first graft they put, the doctor came in 5 days and said, it's okay. But after 4 more days, he came and said, what? It's not taking. He said 40% has taken, but 60 has not taken. Acid is resisting the skin. The acid is a chemical. Whatever little skin which connected to acid is resisting the skin to take. So it was all wounds. I don't know if you have ever been with a wound anywhere. If a wound on a hand or on a leg can pain, how about the whole face to be a wound? So it was all about all wound on the face, and they could dress me in the morning and I cry. He give me painkillers, but not always, because there is also a need of cleaning and you feel it. So he said, we are going to do another operation. I said, Jesus, have you forsaken me? And we prayed a little prayer with my wife. You see, there is a situation that can attack you Even if you are an intercessor and it stops you from praying. I want to be frank with you. I am a pastor. I am coming from Africa. In Africa, we don't have bank accounts. We don't have a lot of them. We have prayer accounts. You eat by faith, you stand by faith. Everything, you, even to travel, it's not like there is a government fund or something. We have prayer accounts. Our insurance is a knee. If you don't know how to kneel down to God, you are not insured. Our insurance is God. I know. I am a prayerful person. The church where I grew up is called the Prayer Palace. It's a palace of prayer. We could pray from evening up to morning. But there is a situation that can attack you and it stops you from praying. That's why when you are well, it's good you pray and keep a lot of prayers on your account. Those prayers will sustain you in a day when you reach in a situation whereby you cannot even open your mouth. It's good. I hold the hand of my wife and I say, Lord, I pray. Do not give me up. Not leave me. After 4 days, they came to take me to another operation. And the very doctor said, I don't know what has happened. The skin is taking. The area which had refused to take is now taking. And I survived that other operation. Now I am going to undergo 3 more other surgeries. I was expecting by this time to be in my country, but I'm still here because they examined me and they said I still have to be here and take more 3 other surgeries. So I want all of you to be prayerful and pray for me as I take these surgeries. Remember, I am not a thief. I did not steal anybody's money. I am not a criminal. I am a victim of religious persecution. And every day remember those people who are living in countries and places where they are persecuted because of Christ. Our responsibility as people who live in the free world is to support and pray for the people who live in a persecuted world. When you look at me, don't just laugh, brother, and go. I am also a person who needs to be well. I did not choose to be in Israel this time. This is my longest stay in a foreign country. I have been here 4 months now. I left my house to go bring ice cream for my children. I have never gone back to take ice cream for my children. They waited for ice cream. They saw pictures on television. And they could not understand because this was published in newspapers, on TV, everywhere. And one child, or youngest, said, who has put soup in daddy's face? He didn't know that this is acid on my face. He thought it's soup. I'm also a father. I'm also a pastor. I'm also a husband of somebody. I'm also a responsible person with my home. But I find myself in this situation. Not because I am a criminal, but because of Christ. What does the Bible say? The scriptures are very clear. We can read us our Bible in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14. It says that when you are persecuted as a Christian, rejoice. If you are suffering as a Christian, rejoice. Even in Luke chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, Jesus said they will chase you out of their synagogues. They will beat you. They will persecute you. But when they pity you or do this all to you, rejoice, because there is a reward in heaven. And in John chapter 16 and verse 2, when you go down, Jesus said, there will be a time when people who are killing you will think that they are doing a service of God. That's why somebody poured acid on me and he said, Allah Akbar. What does it mean? Allah is great. He wanted to kill me to please Allah. That's why I want to finalize my message by telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there is a lot of compromise in church about what Islam is all about. But I want to tell you, I'm ex-Muslim. I am a trained sheikh in Muslim al-Dawah. I know the Quran and Islamic theology, but Islam is not a peaceful religion. You can pretend and call it a peaceful religion, but people are suffering because of the growth of Islam. And more persecution of Christians are based in Islamic countries. They go to America, they are free to build mosques. Even after bombing the Twin Tower, they want to put a mosque there. Nobody is bothering them. Israel, where there was a temple, there is Al-Aqsa. Where there was the first church in Israel, in Jerusalem here, there is a mosque. Yes, where there was the first church, you can't go and pray there. Where Simon Peter was, the first church, Simon Peter and James, where they were, there is a mosque right now. You cannot go and pray. No Jew can go right now to the Temple Mount. They will stone you. What am I trying to say? All this happened when this man called Umar, he was called Umar, he invaded Jerusalem and conquered Jerusalem. All the spread of Islam has been by force. People are trying to pretend, but that is the reality. That's why in many Muslim populated countries, Christians are suffering and are being killed. Because there is a teaching that teaches that Islam is going to be the world empire. Let me tell you something. Muslims are not believing to be Muslims next to other religious faith. They don't believe that there is other religions which has to exist. They believe that the entire world must be Islamic and the world empire is the goal of this religious society. They believe that one day from East and West, my grandfather used to say, from Maghreb, from East and West, from Maghreb to everywhere, everybody must say, قَوْلِ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ مُحَمَّدُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And the strategy to fulfill this is going on. I just want to brief you a little bit and then I will leave this pulpit because I'm not a preacher, I came to give testimony. I am a preacher, but this time I came to give testimony. But I want everybody to leave this house of God knowing that if you want to fight a spiritual war right now, the spiritual warfare between Christianity and Islam must begin. We don't fight Muslims as people, we fight Islam as a spirit. We must love the Muslims because they are in bondage which they don't want. We must love them because they are forced to do what they are doing and they don't want. But we must hate the spirit of Islam, break it in our prayers wherever we are. And its strategies, because you see there is a challenge happening now. Many Christians, when you say there is a challenge and a threat of Islamic Empire, many Christians say we are praying and it will not happen in Jesus' name. But one thing you have to know, God does not only use prayers to do things. He even uses your brain. God will even use your legs. God will use your mouth. God did not give us this head as a decoration. He put something in it. And that something must be utilized. If you go to heaven with unused brains, they will wonder, God gave him a potential and he did not use it. He was only saying, I bind it, and you stop there. There are things you can bind spiritually and physically, practically. After prayer, put on action. What action is that? We will not fight the Muslims as they fight, but we will use the strategies to hinder Islam to take over our countries. We will close all the doors which they have been using to Islamize the countries. What are the doors? I'll show you a few. Just give me a clip, my sister. I'm just showing you briefly something to learn. Is there anybody following me? If you follow me, say amen. Oh. You go on? Yes. Islam is not a peaceful religion. World empire is their goal. That's what I've been talking about. Any state or person who doesn't believe so is an enemy that must be fought or killed. Now, you must know why. If a country is declared an Islamic state, it will hate Israel. Why? Christianity was founded in Israel. This is the land of the Bible. And when the Bible spread all over, Islam does not grow. They are not hating Israel as a nation. They are hating what comes out of Israel and the God of Israel. And the problems of Israel and the other countries in the Middle East are more orchestrated by religion than politics. Can I repeat that? The problems of Israel and other countries in the Middle East are more based on religion. There is a thinking that the nation of Israel must not exist in this area. They think that the entire Middle East must be Islamic, and Israel is the only country non-Islamic in the Middle East. And for you people to pray for Israel, you are not helping Israel. You are helping yourself and your faith to stand in this land. So what do we have to do is to stop compromising and face the enemy. Otherwise, the Islamic World Empire can become a reality. Am I a prophet of doom? No. I'll tell you this. People say, because we pray, it cannot happen. But how did it happen up to today? Do you know that Christianity was founded, or faith in Christ was founded in Jerusalem? Do you know that? Jesus died in Jerusalem. Rose from the dead in Jerusalem. But people who believe in Jesus were the first people in Jerusalem before Muslims came. Isn't it? People believe in Jesus. They were here 2,000 years ago. Isn't it? But Islam came 1,400 years ago. Isn't it? But Muslims in Jerusalem are more than Christians in Jerusalem. Am I wrong? Go check the percentage of Christians in Jerusalem and check the percentage of Muslims. You will realize that what I'm talking about can become a reality. One man said, a watching dog can be powerful than a sleeping lion. If the lion is sleeping, it can be useless. And a watching dog can be useful and powerful if it's watching. But if the lion raises from the sleep, the dog will go home. The Lord Almighty is rising up the lion to know that the church is a lion. When the church is doing nothing, evil can triumph. The man said, what takes evil to triumph is when good people sit down and do nothing. If good people sit down and do nothing, evil people, evil men will triumph on the land. What I'm trying to say is that in order for this not to happen, there are some compromises we must put aside and face the reality. Islam is not a peaceful religion. And they are targeting a world empire. I'll give you an example. The country called United Kingdom, it was one of the first countries to send missionaries all over the world. And the church was the one governing the nation. But Muslims in 1978, I have a detailed report of the meeting. They said that if we can take London for Islam, it will be easier for us to take the Western Hemisphere. They planned and they did a strategy to take London for Islam. They released many Muslim young men to go to London purposely to take it. Today, there are more Muslims in London who go to mosques than more Christians who go to church. And many churches have been sold and turned into mosques. So they have overcome London right now, and they have invaded the United States and France and other countries. They are using the same strategies. Amazingly, people are unaware of this. In America, this is what they are doing. They are saying, they have put a man called Farrakhan. He's preaching Islam on a racial basis. He's using racism to spread Islam. He's saying that Muhammad was a black man and Jesus was a white man. So he's winning more. That's why in America, many blacks are going to Islam because of that. So we need to stop those kind of satanic plans which wants to establish darkness on the planet. And if the church just fold its hands and watch it can happen, it's easy for us to be Christians and our grandchildren be Muslims. It's possible. Look at Great Britain. I've given you an example. Just look at that as an example. If you are from Great Britain, go do that research. You will realize that in United Kingdom, there is a place already where Sharia is operating. Sharia law. The people who used to follow the Bible, now Sharia law. When Sharia comes in, that means Islam has dominated the place. We are not hating a religion of people, but Islam is not a religion of peace. When it comes with violence, and the entire system politically is going to change, and people will not have freedom, and they will be fighting, and there will be killing of Christians. Because if a country, the Christians are the majority, the Muslims are free and are at liberty. But if a country, the Muslims are the majority, the Christians and other people will suffer. I'm giving you an example. I'm coming from a country where Muslims are the minority. But when they got one time chance to get the presidency, and the president was a Muslim, he declared it an Islamic state, even though they are the minority. Muslims are not more than 20%, and Christians are 80%. But we are called Islamic state, and all Arab countries giving money to make sure we remain so. When we talk about it as Christians, we are threatened by other outside forces which brings in money and threaten us and kill those who they are possible to kill. Like recently, three things happened. Why I look like this? I will show you. Go on, my sister. When you look here, you are going to see. I'm saying, oh, sorry. It's okay. I'm saying,
The global Islamic agenda, the front line is sixfold: religious, economical, political, constitutional review, media, and force. Are you hearing me? Religious, they establish the mosques. Economical, they make sure they take root in the economic system of the country. Political, they state political people in political positions. Constitutional review. This agitation of the constitutional review is happening even in other countries, even in the US. They are saying they want to review the constitution and put the Cathy courts. Even in UK. Ladies and gentlemen, you must stand for this. They want to Islamize your country. In Nigeria, they said that we want Cathy courts just to govern our marriage and our families. What happened? Now they have Sharia and many people are dying in Nigeria because they allowed the Cathy courts. When you give Islam an inch, it will take a village. When Islam is given a quarter, it eats the whole of it. When you give them an inch to enter your constitution and put the Cathy courts, because Cathy courts govern his family, Islam see things differently from the way Western world see things. For you, what you call democracy and peace is when everybody is happy. For them, what they call democracy and peace is when Islam is ruling the land, whether everybody is happy or not. The Muslim freedom is the Sharia freedom. That's why in Saudi Arabia they will tell you, women are telling you in Saudi Arabia that they are happy. But can I tell you what a woman in Saudi Arabia live like? A woman is not supposed to vote. But is saying that is freedom. He's not supposed to drive in the street. That is freedom. He studied and has a degree. He cannot do anything. That is freedom. He's not supposed to stand on a balcony and watch down on the beach. That is freedom. But is that freedom? Their freedom is different from the freedom of the Western world. What they call freedom is when Islam has swallowed the land. Give us a slot. That's why there, you see that picture? I had taken a petition in the constitution, in the parliament of Uganda. That is me. I was consecrated the bishop. I have many churches I lead. And get us another slot. I went with ex-Muslims and we challenged the existence of the Cathy courts in the constitution of the Republic of Uganda. The one I'm giving a petition is the Vice President of Uganda. But that time, last year in April, he was the Speaker of the Parliament of Uganda. We went there, we challenged them legally. It took our prayers, we mobilized the Christian lawyers in big numbers, we drafted a petition, and we took it, and we managed to reverse the idea which the government of Uganda was going to have of putting Sharia in a Ugandan constitution. They already declared us an Islamic state. Now they wanted legally to turn Uganda into an Islamic state. And we refused. And now I'm glad that you can copy that example and take it to UK and take it to France and other countries and do the same. I did it in Uganda. You can do it in your country and refuse the evil to swallow your land. Give us another slot. Yes, to a Muslim, all non-Muslims are enemies who must be killed. Either won, defeated, or killed. That's why I faced this terrorist attack. And they said, Allahu Akbar. Why did they ban me like this? They banned me because of my conversion from Islam. They don't want me to convert. Two, because I stood and I'm teaching my people in Uganda to support and love the nation of Israel. Three, because I challenged the existence of the Sharia in the constitution. And four, because my congregation, wherever we are, wherever our churches are,
we win many Muslims to Christ. When they burnt me like this, they threw letters in our church toilet, and they said, because of these four reasons, we burnt you with acid. We threw acid on you. But they said, we did not want to see you alive, and we are very sorry for you to be alive, but make sure we are going to finish our mission. They said they have plan A, B, and plan C. But I know if they have plan A, B, and C, Jesus have a plan for me from A up to Z. We shall defeat the enemy. So keep me in prayers. My children are not safe. I always pray not to be stressed. They have now told me I'm still here for more 3 months or four. I would like to see my children. I'm praying God to help me. Maybe they visit me for a week or two. Keep me in prayers for the other surgeries which I'm going to take. It's terrible. I've got 3 surgeries in 4 months. And I'm going to get other 3 surgeries in the remaining 4 months. So that is the challenge of life. As a human being, last year when the year was ending, I had plans of the year. But now they are all jeopardized. But I'm glad that even in this kind of situation, maybe what I planned was jeopardized. But with this mask, I have gone to many congregations in Israel, and this message has blessed many people. That means, in a time of problem, the Lord has used it to glorify His name and to encourage His people. That's the good news out of it. So pray for my family. They are still in Uganda. And my children, the way they take this, because they may think, I have devoted all the time to serving God. I don't want them to say, Our father served the Lord and God did not protect him. I don't want that. I don't want a statement which will chase them away from the Lord. I want them to be close to the Lord. And again, you pray for me as I plan to be, when I will be going back to Uganda, that I don't back down, but I stand strong and continue to serve the Lord. It will be wonderful if I don't fear. And I continue to serve the Lord. How many people would like to see me continue to serve the Lord completely? Please, keep me in prayers. You don't know me now. You have seen this mask. You don't know me. Let me show you a few pictures and then I will close. That is the first day when they burnt me. That is the very man now. Look at this picture. Do you see me now? Now, go back a little bit. Go back a little. Now, look at that. The face. Let's go ahead. Another one. Yes, that is me with this old woman of 82 years. That lady is 82 years. She was born early 20s. She wanted to come to Israel. So I was praying for her and she was going to come to Israel. And she came. That's our church. And behind you can see Israel flag. Yes, that church is called Gospel Life Church International. One person said, if you want to eat a frog, if you choose that today, I'm going to eat a frog, you must eat the big one. So don't eat the small one, you eat the big one. So when we chose to support Israel, we support it with all our heart. Okay, give us another one. Yes, that's part of my family. That's me sitting, my wife, and 3 of my children. Others were at school. The one I'm handling, and the one my wife handling, are the twins. The other one is called Joshua. This one is called Caleb. So, get us another one. Those are some of the meetings I do. I do big meetings and thousands come to listen to the Lord, to the word of the Lord, and they give their life to the Lord. Another one. That's the same meeting. Another one. That is me. You can see me in a suit there, leading these people to Jesus. Another one. That's another meeting. Go on. Yes, go on. There was a meeting. Go on. Yes. That's the day we marched in the streets, all of us dressing in Israeli colors in the city of Kampala. It was during the time when Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, came and he wanted to take our oil. He wanted an agreement with our government. And we knew how bad his government is and his theory. And we decided to march in the streets of Kampala and to take a petition to the government. And we told our government, this visitor is not welcome in this country because Uganda is 85% Christian and it doesn't respect Israel where Christianity was founded. So we succeeded. Our oil was not taken by Ahmadinejad. There is a company from UK that took the oil. Another one? Yes, that is the last day. That is the last day of my preaching which I talked about. And then give us another one. Then tomorrow was the news. Give us another one. The news. Again, the news. Now I'm in the hospital. Mouth is bruised. Another one. You can see I cannot even clean myself clearly. They are helping me. Another one. It's tough. You can see the court. Another one. Yes. Now I'm in India. I was in India. They are trying to help me. You can see. And I could not walk. You see the face, how it has changed. Another one. Now I had arrived at Terra Shamel Hospital. I had no life on me. Look at my face. Another one. That is after cleaning. Another one. That is after cutting me. The night I told you, I will never forget. I had no skin on this side, the right side. And it was terrible. Another one. That too, I was learning how to walk. Another one. That is after the skin graft. And you can see my eye. The right one. No life in it. Another one. That's now with a mask. So, ladies and gentlemen, whatever happens to you, know God is able. Keep your faith in the Lord. And I want to stop from here. But I want to tell you, Islam is not a peaceful religion. They said, give us one slot. They said that they attack America and Israel because of the land. Why did they attack me? If they attack America and Israel because of land, because of bad policy of America, why did they attack me? That shows that never be fooled. Islam is a dangerous spirit which must be addressed. And we believers, we must take a responsibility upon ourselves. All the interpretation to hide in the sand does not work. The issue is, we will not be radical, we will not hate them, but we must defeat the spirit. I'll leave you, and I want to thank you for listening to me. I've written a book of my testimony and all the information you've seen here. I have given you a summary of what I know about Islam, but I have put it in detail in this booklet with my testimony. If you will need a copy of this book, I've come with about 10 copies of this book. Wherever you go, they take it. You will just have to support the work we're doing by 100 shekels, they call it shekels, 100 shekels, and we give you this book. It will be wonderful, and the Lord will bless you. Not dollars. If you want to give dollars, it's okay. If you want euros, it's okay. If you want any currency, however big it may be, that we go in Uganda. Remember, pray for me. I look like this. I'm far away, but I still have to pay the bills of my children. I still have to take them to school. Even if I look like this, I am still the father, the one in charge of the responsibilities of my house. May the good Lord bless you and thank you for listening to me. Bye.